yourself. In my experience, every time you set out to create something new, you have to prove to yourself you can still do it at least as well, if not better than you did it before. You cannot rest on your creative laurels. Mastery is an elusive concept. You never know when you achieve it absolutely, and it may not help you to feel you've attained it. Alexander the Great wept when he had no more worlds to conquer. We can recognize it more readily in others than we can in ourselves. We all have to discover our own definition of it. I take mine from the story of Giotto's O, the 14th century Italian artist, when asked to supply proof of his artistic skill for Pope Benedict XI, complied by drawing a perfect circle with a single fluent movement. Giotto was playing on an established topos or convention in art theory that linked consummate artistic skill with the ability to draw a circle freehand. I was reminded of that topos when I was on tour in The Hague and went to an exhibition of Rembrandt self-portraits. An early painting, The Painter in His Studio, caught my eye. It shows Rembrandt, cloaked in shadow, gazing intently at an easel that dominates the foreground. As I turned the corner to another room, I was stunned by a work made 40 years later. Self-portrait with two circles. The jump in technique between the two portraits is phenomenal. The first reveals a painter who is tentative and unsure of his beginning. You see it in the flat, lifeless brushstrokes. The second shows a painter drenched in confidence. The brushstrokes are thick, three-dimensional, centuries ahead of their time. They could easily be the strokes of a 19th-century master. But far more striking than the development of technique was how Rembrandt portrayed his personal growth. In the first, he is small, intimidated, facing a giant canvas that he can hardly bring himself to touch. We all know that feeling when we are starting out. In the second, he is engaging us directly, dominating the foreground with two half-circles behind him. Here was an artist's growth made tangible. I remembered Giotto's topos and how the closed form of the circle symbolized eternity and perfection through its association with the halos of the saints. How wise of Rembrandt, I thought, and how human to install himself between the two half-circles as if he existed between youthful and mature mastery. Between painting as he found it and as he would leave it. I suspect all of us have our own topos, our own sense of what mastery means, and how close we come to achieving it. If to an artist it means drawing a perfect circle, then to a musician it might be writing reams of variations and fugues and complex counterpoint from a single simple theme. To a storyteller, it might be the ability to weave a complete story on the spot from someone else's opening line. To a chef, it's creating an exquisite meal with whatever ingredients are at hand. To a designer, it's making a fashion statement out of any snatch of fabric. To me, it's creating a dance with an impossible timetable, constricted rehearsals, and restricted access to dancers. When you can create beauty and wonder from the metaphorical stone that the builder refused, you have achieved mastery. More than anything, I associate mastery with optimism. It's the feeling at the start of a project when I believe that my whole career has been preparation for this moment, and I am saying, okay, let's begin. Now I am ready. Of course, you're never 100% ready. But that's a part of mastery, too. It masks the insecurities and the gaps in technique and lets you believe you are capable of anything. When it all comes together, A creative life has the nourishing power we normally associate with food, love, and faith. On Saturday, September 8th, 2001, my company gave a free performance for 2,000 people in the plaza that separated the Twin Towers of New York's World Trade Center. We were the last people to perform there. 3 days later, the day of the attacks, I was putting the finishing touches on a theatrical project to which I had devoted most of my year, preparing for a rehearsal in the late morning at a studio in Midtown Manhattan. As the chaos of 9/11 developed, I thought about working with my dancers that day, but decided it was impossible, for so many reasons. I phoned all the dancers to check on their welfare, and I told them there was no obligation to attend rehearsal the next day. Yet they all showed up, ready for work, arriving in a shaken Manhattan, with its bridges and tunnels only just reopened, from Brooklyn, Staten Island, New Jersey, and Westchester County to the north. We could have easily become absorbed by the tragedy, lost in it, and paralyzed by it. But what came back to us was the instinct to dance. I began as a dancer, and in those days of pain and shock, I went back to where I started. Creating dance is the thing I know best. It is how I recognize myself. Even in the worst of times, such habits sustain, protect, and in the most unlikely way, lift us up. I cannot think of a more compelling reason to foster the creative habit. It permits me to walk into a white room and walk out dancing. This has been an Audible Inc. production of The Creative Habit, Learn It and Use It for Life, written by Twyla Tharp, narrated by Lauren Fortgang, producer Mike Charzik, copyright 2003 by WAT Limited, production copyright 2013 by Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.